Hey, friend. It's David Nabinsky here in New York City. So excited for this special podcast episode with Michelle Welsh and Veronica Colinas. Here at Portfolio Career Podcast, we help you take ownership of your portfolio career and design the life that you want to live. Change is inevitable, and that was one of the big lessons from 2020 for so many of us. And professionally pivoting is such a key piece of this. How do we do it? What is a pivot? How do we make it easier? Who needs to be a part of this? Is it a pivot after the fact? These are just some of the questions that I was curious about. Wanted to talk to two prior podcast guests about their 2020 pivots, frameworks, routines, insights, and how to go on the offense and enjoy pivoting as much as we can. Please note that Michelle lives in Nepal and Veronica currently lives in Bali, which I think provides unique insights, global perspective in this special themed episode just on pivoting, only talking about pivoting. I hope you like this style and this format and would love to hear what you think. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There, you can also subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and friend sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Michelle and Veronica. I think, 2020 forced us all to kind of pivot in many different ways or reevaluate things in many different ways. And so I just thought we'd have a wonderful just conversation around this and we'll see where things go. And so one place I want to start is like, what's the definition of a pivot? How do you kind of see pivoting? Is it a big thing? Is it a small thing? Maybe we can just start there. Michelle.
Thanks, David. And thanks for having me. This is always fun. So for me, a pivot, I grew up playing sports and a pivot was the move that you first learn to try to shake somebody. So it was a very intentional step that you took to switch directions. And, this past year and learning more about business and getting into social enterprise, and especially with this last year, thinking about pivot as being an intentional move, and whether it's forced on by an outside circumstance or you're choosing it yourself, but intentionally shifting your perspective and your vision and going in a new direction. What I found is interesting is sometimes it's a surprise and you don't know what's going to be on the other side of the pivot. And sometimes it can be a very wonderful and marvelous surprise. Veronica, I'd love to hear how do you see a pivot?
Thanks, Michelle. And thanks for having me too, David. So, pivot. So you asked the question, could it be big? Could it be small? Thing that I think about pivots could be they could be intentional and they can be so unintentional and come out of nowhere. Like a pivot could smack you in the face. I've experienced some really big pivots recently and definitely last year. Sometimes you have time to make a big pivot or you think you have time. And just like last year, many of us didn't have time. It was just something happened like, oh my God, whoa, the world is changing. I have to do something or even questioning yourself, what am I going to do? So yeah, that is what I think making a pivot is.
Okay. Well, both of you shared some exciting ideas and stories. I can't wait to jump into them in a second. I'll say really quickly what I think a pivot is so that we can talk about your stories. But it's interesting because for me, like since I started the podcast, the podcast has been kind of like my main thing. And then different projects and unexpected things and opportunities, stuff have kind of like come up along the way. And some people may consider like, wow, he's pivoting a lot. And I tend to think like, well, I'm really focused on building or doing this podcast work. And so, you know, there's sometimes depending on, you know, as we're all kind of doing a lot of different things, like we might be pivoting one aspect of our portfolio career, but then another thing we're actually really still doing no matter what. And so I think that that part's interesting of like, well, what one thing could be pivoting, but another thing may not. And how do you kind of wrestle with that kind of internally and also kind of externally too? So I think, I think also a pivot to me actually is becoming more exciting than scary. And that's something that I'm trying to embrace. And I think you both kind of talked about that as well. But you know, before it used to be, I used to think like 2 years at this job and then, you know, then my resume will look this way and yada, yada, yada. And now it's just like, cool. Like if there's, you know, a really new exciting opportunity or some, and it just feels amazing, like I jump into that and it's maybe some people may call it a pivot, but it's more of like a leap.
I really love that, David.
Yeah, embracing change. And I think that's so much of what you stand for with portfolio career, that you have to evolve. And sometimes that's the hardest decision. That's the hardest thing to do, because I feel like naturally we want to stay put and we want to stay on the path that we've charted out and spent time planning and making decisions and committing time and energy. That when we're faced with that option of, do we continue on the same path or make some sort of adjustment? There's that risk that you have to weigh out. And is this going to pay off? Is this the right decision? How is this going to work? Because this isn't what I had thought. So maybe you can share, how do you start embracing the exciting aspects of that and leaning away from the scary parts, actually? I do think that's where the creativity lies.
I always like, and it's hard, but I like learning and I like doing things that I haven't done before, especially with people that I respect, people that I'm inspired by. And if I think it's a way to grow, then I kind of jump into it. But the last two, my current role and the thing that I've done before, like they didn't really look like what they are now. And I think we both kind of talked about that too. They kind of looked like small little projects or small little like starts. And then they kind of evolved into something more. But I think part of the lens that I've been lucky, or for better or for worse, that I've been kind of following over the last year or two has just been like, is this person or is this company amazing? If yes, like that's initial barometer. Like, do I trust this person? Does this person and company trust me? So yeah, that's definitely a kind of initial test for me.
Michelle, I really love your question about how do you embrace excitement when something big is changing? Or maybe something small is changing. And yeah, I know for me, I used to spend a lot of time worrying, like, what if it's not right? What if I fail? Or what if it's not, what if I don't look good? Or what if people don't like it, right? So like, I used to have those thoughts all the time, like running all the time, or like concerned about looking good. And I realized that it really needed to take me to just embrace the next step and take that risk, despite the fear and despite what may happen. Like for me, like recently, I dove into the virtual world, coming from leading in-person events in New York, And, you know, I had a one-day retreat planned. And then when the pandemic hit New York, you know how things were just changing by the hour or things got worse by the hour. And I really had to make a pivot. Like, I had to make a decision to take my retreat, either cancel it or bring it online. And I had never imagined what that kind of experience would be online, because I lead workshops around vulnerability and connection. I'm like, I can't do that online. So literally, I mean, I had to make a quick decision, and I had to make it within a day. And also, my partner at the time, he came to me, he's like, I think New York's gonna get really bad, so we should leave for Bali now, because we were going to Bali anyway. So it was just like these quick decisions needed to be made. And I had to make that pivot. And even though it was really scary, I had the time, or I just chose, or made a choice to just choose, okay, this could be really great or it could be really shitty. So yeah, I just wanted to share that story about like how to just choose, you know, being, you know, choosing courage over comfort, or staying in the monkey mind running thought process about what's wrong.
Thank you for sharing your story. So I know a lot of people who, that was the big challenge. How do we shift our business, our plans that used to take place in the physical space to online? And a lot of people decided not to take that risk and decided to fold, or decided it's not going to work. Of course, there are people who were able to adapt, but not everyone did. So I do think that says something huge about you and who you are as a person, to take that risk, to get creative, to step outside of your comfort zone, to try something new. And sounds like it worked.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it was life-changing, totally life-changing. You know, I lived in New York City for my whole life, or I grew up in New York my whole life. And now I'm living in Bali, and this is my first time living across in another place in the world. So yeah, I'm really grateful that I get to do this work online. And it's not easy. Pivots are not easy. They could be, but.
Maybe that's a good way to segue in terms of, you know, what are the small things that we've noticed that have helped with the pivot? What are the ways to, you know, it's to some extent a little bit what we're talking about earlier. It's like kind of not, it becomes a pivot after the fact, or like in the moment, it may not be considered a pivot. Like, I don't think, I can imagine we don't always wake up and say, oh, I want to pivot today. like, I can't wait to pivot. So, you know, after the fact, we may look at it, be like, oh, that was really cool how that happened. Or, and so in my case, last summer, I was noticing some things were starting to change. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And it was kind of middle of June. And I said, you know, I called it an accountability group. And so I invited a bunch of people to I called a July accountability group. I didn't really know what it was going to look like or what it was. And I just kind of wanted to have great people around me and kind of then see where things go from there. But I've noticed in the past, if I kind of am by myself when I'm kind of wrestling with changes, that's the hardest thing for me. And so then I was like, oh, let me just do this July accountability group. It didn't really have much form or structure. It didn't really have many like benefits or features of why people should come, but I was just like, yeah, an accountability group. I don't know what we're holding each other accountable to, but just like, I want to be around you all. Hope you say yes. But the act of like trying to organize, and trying to bring like-minded people together, or at least maybe somebody else was pivoting and they saw this as an invitation to say, oh, cool, like I want to be around other people too. So that first, the act of like going on the offense of like, oh, I want to do something this month and be around like-minded people, that helped shift my mindset and started to put me onto the offense more.
Yeah, I love that. I remember that. Actually, I think I remember that when you started that group. And pivots could be so transformational when they just come from the heart, right? Like you think like before, think if you have something intentional that you want to start and change, or like something needs to change. And I think this is what I want to do. And I don't know what it'll look like, but I'm going to do it. And once you make the choice to do it, you know, and it comes from your heart and not something that, you know, doesn't always have to be something that you strategically plan. That's when it could be really amazing, when people are just like, wow, I want to be a part of this. I don't know what it is, but I just want to be a part of it. So, yeah.
So I'll share my story about the pivot that I dealt with in 2020. And I think about that book, I don't know if you guys have come across it, Beautiful Constraints, where basically it talks about how when there is some sort of obstacle that you have to deal with, it forces you to innovate and get creative and find new insight. So I'm in Nepal, started and run an education community center, a physical space in which there's a library. We teach kids how to make latte art, and kids, I mean, young adults, people come to take English language classes, to prepare for SAT exams, very much a community center, a physical center. So in March, when Nepal's government closed all learning centers and educational institutes, and kept them closed, I think even now they've just started to reopen schools officially. We were in this position of, we started this business, we started this establishment with this direction in mind. And now what we built is taken off the table. So what are we gonna do with this? And in Nepal, online learning is not really a thing. It is gaining momentum and gaining popularity, but a big obstacle and one of the things that we've had to overcome is educating people that online classes can be just as effective as in-person classes. But again, in Nepal, you have connectivity issues. Not everybody has a laptop. So some students are on their phones, so they're not able to type and be on the phone at the same time. Some people just don't have knowledge of how to use devices. Totally, a total pivot, which was not our choice. It was in response to a situation. So on the flip side, so on the back end of this, our target audience has expanded. So before, our physical location only allowed us to focus on the group of people within the area that our center is located. Now we have students from all over Nepal. And as the centers and schools are starting to reopen, now we're thinking about how do we incorporate a mixed model? How do we use this to go even bigger? And again, this is not something that we would have even started to think about had it not been for this forced pivot. So I do think that you can be intentional about redirecting yourself in life, but I think sometimes things happen and it's a choice. You're given that opportunity. Do you want to be like a dinosaur and just leave it, or and kind of fall out? Or do you want to kind of take the challenge head on, see what you can do with it and make it work for you? So I do think that sometimes a pivot is in response to something that's not in your control, but what is in your control is how you respond and what you do with it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I resonate with a lot with that. Actually, recently, about a month ago, I would say now, I I had, you know, like a huge reflection and a huge, like, I made a mistake in my business, and, or like, you know, I made a mistake, and it was a huge reflection on me and who I've been being. And it was really hard to face, right? It was like, oh my gosh, at first it feels like, why is this all happening at the same time? It almost felt like unbearable, one after the other. And, you know, I let myself feel it. I let myself deal with it, take responsibility for what I could be responsible for, and really own, like, what hasn't been working, and really, like, and really be truthful about that. Like, truthful, like, really telling one on myself, not like, oh, like, yeah, maybe it's like airy fairy and fluffy. Like, I really, really had to get real with myself and make a shift, right? And, you know, I've been an entrepreneur, and I'm still an entrepreneur, but, you know, I really had this idea of what an entrepreneur is, and I resisted a lot of the things that I wanted to change. And when it all came down, or it all, like, blew up, right, it made me look at those things, right? And then I made a choice to pivot, right? Or I'm making a choice to do something different, right? Like, you know, and, like, to your point earlier about excitement, like, it could be really exciting to shift. Like, now I'm looking into, you know, how can I expand? How can I do things differently? Who will I be? And how can I be really excited about this shift? Like, clearly it was supposed to happen. And once I got really clear about it too, other things changed. You know, like, my partner and I, we just decided to break up. Right. And it's a mutual thing. And, you know, we're doing a conscious uncoupling, right? But it that's a huge pivot. We've been together for 2 years. So that's like another, it's like, ooh, work, partnership. Like, so it's like, okay, what am I going to do differently? And it doesn't have to crumble. Or even if you're listening to this and you're feeling like, oh my God, no, this happened. It feels like the most terrible thing ever, or I'm ashamed. Or if you're feeling like unsure of what to do next, let yourself feel it, let yourself see it, be honest with yourself, be honest with others, and choose, to Michelle's point, what you're going to do differently and how you're going to react to it.
One phrase keeps repeating in my mind back from, so I did my master's in social work, and sometimes clinical phrases pop up, but one of the phrases that I used to use with clients is that change is hard, change is slow, but change does come. And I think often just that movement of a pivot, sometimes people think should be fast or should be quick or should be automatic, and the reward should just appear like under a rainbow. But actually, a pivot can take time. And to take very slow steps could get you into the direction that you want to go. You know, deciding to change your business model, to end a relationship, to move from New York to Bali. These things could be split, inspired decisions, or it could be something that you kind of build up to over time, slow inspiration, slow dissatisfactions, curiosity. And then one day, boom, you have the courage and you make the decision and you go.
Mm-hmm. Totally. David, do you have anything?
Many questions, as always. Thank you for sharing, Veronica. I think that both of you have been, in the last couple of months, have also been leveling up your skills, and been taking different courses or learning from different people and being in different workshops. Has that been kind of a conscious effort as well to, you know, develop new skills, kind of expand new horizons, and maybe, you know, it doesn't seem like a pivot. You're like, oh, I'm just going to learn this thing, and then see what comes up from that. And any thoughts on, has workshops or courses or working with other people on kind of like on yourself and your skills, has that helped kind of the pivots, or any thoughts related to that?
Great, great question. Liz Gilbert, she has the quote of follow your curiosity. You know, so often there's pressure about what's your passion? What are you going to do? And I think sometimes, especially in moments of doubt and when there is a lot of uncertainty or turmoil or things are changing, to tap into what are you curious about and what gets you interested and excited. Alongside that, who shares those same excitements and those curiosities? So I think especially when you're making decisions to move and change, you have to be around supportive people. And you have to be around people who are on the same trajectory, and they're also interested in moving and not staying stagnant.
Yeah, I love that. For me, I love learning too. I love taking courses and learning and looking at how can I up-level my skills, especially for what I'm teaching. How can I be a better listener? How can I show up better when it comes to conflict and resolution? So I'm constantly, you know, just putting myself when I can in some kind of new training or course, or even it doesn't have to be a course, right? It can be even a new opportunity, like with a new friendship, a new project, or even taking on like a new daily practice, right? It could be something that is really good for figuring out a new way of operating while you're consciously making a choice, or even if you don't know a change is coming tomorrow, right? How can you do something different even while you're doubting yourself?
Totally. And in kind of November, Michelle and I started talking kind of every Saturday or Sunday, and kind of unexpectedly and very casually, like no real agenda or anything. And Michelle may say it differently, but the idea of just like meeting with somebody on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, like I think that really provided a lot of a boost for me in some unexpected ways. One of which was just like knowing that I had to tell somebody or to kind of catch up and say, how did the week go? And I feel like we also kind of just talked about a bunch of different things, but just like planting different seeds with somebody that hopefully cares about you and is interested in kind of what you're up to. Some of it I think was like kind of clearing and cleansing and stuff, but also just like, hey, here's some ideas that I'm just kind of wrestling with or noodling with. And then hearing hers, and then I would kind of think about them randomly throughout the week. And then hopefully then the next Saturday or Sunday, I'd have like good news about that and stuff like that. So I thought that little small, just a one-on-one, and we didn't really like kind of agree to like, hey, let's do this for X amount of weeks or anything like that. But it happened really organically, but I think it was a big boost for me. And I mentioned that earlier about organizing for in kind of June and July, but finding other little like kind of smaller little groups too can also really help and kind of meaningful impact, like a weekly catch up with a great friend.
I'm really happy to hear that. I think you've hit two points that when you show up for yourself, and sometimes that looks like showing up for other people, but when you place yourself in the position to show up and represent, you're more present and you're more observant of the space around you. And I think that's where inspiration and new ideas come from. And whether those ideas are about yourself, your business, something new that you should start, something that you should change. But when you show up, you're present to that and then you can be more receptive. The other thing I think is committing, right? Is, and sometimes that's the hardest thing to do when there is a lot of change and there is a big cloud around you and you're not sure about the direction. But when you commit to values, right? So connection is a value of both of ours, David, and friendship and authenticity and communication. When you pinpoint what is important to you and you commit to inviting those things into your life and making sure your life is filled with those things, I really think that's like the foundation and that's where all the good stuff comes from. It's like, yeah, you have to have that there. And if it's not there, doesn't matter what kind of pivot you do, it's not going to turn out well. But if you pad yourself with, again, showing up for yourself and then committing to those things that are important to you, your pivot's going to turn out well. It's going to end well.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone here have a daily practice that you've started to do last year when you did make a pivot, or something that you've been doing for a long time that you notice yourself, if you don't do it, things get off track? What would that be?
I like this question. So I have an app, it's called Insight Timer. And I start my morning with a different meditation every day. And that's really helped me ground and stay focused on who I am and what I want to stand for and what I want to represent. You know, I think when things do get hectic and, you know, anxiety kicks in, my tendency is usually to withdraw. So being intentional about, you know, when everything was on lockdown, setting Zoom dates, scheduling calls, right? But finding that balance of me time and also social time, because if it's too much on the social, then it's draining and it doesn't actually feel invigorating and like a recharge. So I think staying connected, but also staying grounded as well are the two kind of habits or practices that really carried me through 2020.
Yeah. And then for me, it can be considered a light jog, but every morning I do go running, and it's not really running because I'm not that fast. So more of a light jog, but yeah, no matter what, I do that. And I don't know what it would be like if I didn't do that. You know, it definitely has gotten more and more, hasn't been as exciting as it used to be. So that's definitely something I've recently noticed. But yeah, I don't know what it would like if I stopped that habit of not going for a 30-minute run in the morning. I also think in some parts of last year, I tried to then also bring in an afternoon or early evening run as well. So yeah, exercise, I think, has been huge for me.
Love that. Yeah, I've actually just picked up a new daily practice that I haven't really cultivated for. I mean, I used to do it sporadically here and there, just practice gratitude. And for the past 2 months, it's been a daily practice. And especially when I had that pivot or when I experienced that blowout the way that I did, I really, really got connected to gratitude. And that really, like, having that practice every day and no matter what, even if I'm really busy, even if I have calls, like making sure that I make the time to just take 5 minutes and just write down what I'm grateful for, or, you know, go outside and just be in nature and still have that practice before myself.
Love that. And it's funny now, another new idea of a recent practice popped up for me. In the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to send an email to a new person every single day. I was inspired by a podcast guest, Carly Valancy, which she calls reaching out. But I've been trying to, for the last couple of weeks, send a new email to somebody, tell them thank you, or check in with somebody. And I think that's another thing around this idea of pivoting, is like constantly, I don't want to say putting yourself out there, but constantly just either telling people you're grateful for their work or that you appreciate their work, or, you know, kind of demystifies the bigger pivot. And so these kind of smaller things that you can do to continue to invest into relationships, continue to connect with people is huge. And I think another a benefit of the portfolio career is like you have different projects or things that you've worked on in the past. And so the pivot is not as big as it may be for the entrepreneurs like that are out there of like, I've got this business with 40 people and, you know, and so that too. So I think it's a benefit of the portfolio careers to say, you know, each pivot is not as scary as it could be.
Love that.
But we're choosing excitement and yeah. And courage here was one of the main takeaways. Anything else that jumps out that you all think that we missed? Either, I don't know, a pivot that didn't work out well, a new app, a new exercise, a new routine, you know, either anything around, you know, how do you communicate publicly if you're trying to pivot? Anything else that, you know, I know I just threw out a bunch of different things, got the kitchen sink out there, but anything else that kind of jumps out, Veronica, Michelle?
You know, one thing that I think about is the most interesting people who I come across. And so I've worked in New York. I was a probation officer in Colorado. I'm now in Nepal. I've traveled a lot. And the people who are always the most magnetic are those ones who are not afraid of evolving. And throughout their life, they've had many different variations. So I do think that, I mean, human nature, I think we crave comfort, but the pivot brings a sort of texture and richness and depth to life, whether it is business or your own personal experiences, that it's almost like you'd be doing yourself a disservice to actively choose not to. So when you are faced with the position or the choice, are you going to make the pivot or not? I do think that, yes, you have to weigh out, especially when you're dealing with financial matters and business decisions, but don't let fear be the compass. And remember that sometimes the hidden treasures are in the places that you don't expect.
Mm. Yes, I agree with that. I love that. To piggyback off of you, Michelle, something that came up for me when you said that was the importance of just being yourself. No matter what changes, no matter what comes up, whether it's big, small, amazing, right? Make sure that you are being yourself. And even if it's scary, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. It's, and I would love to hear, please let listeners know how they can support and follow up on your work, Veronica, Michelle. But I think Veronica, just to piggyback on that last part, there is this idea also around like many other people are pivoting and many other people are going through a lot of different changes of where to live, relationships, work and stuff like that. And to your point, Veronica, it's most important about you. So trying to like maybe even close off the internet and to really get grounded on who you are and, you know, what works well for you, what excites you, you know, what can you bring in new to the world? You know, what's a small project? What's a small contribution? And not think about like all the different pivots that are out there by all these different people, I think is something that I've been trying to think about.
Yeah, I just want to add to that too. Like, just if you find yourself wanting to compare yourself to what someone else is doing, get back on track to what you're doing, right? Stay focused on what you're doing. See how you can be in service of others, in connection with others, and just be, it just takes awareness to just notice when you're comparing or when you're thinking like, oh, is this the right thing? Should I do it? But this person's doing it this way. This person's doing it better. This person's Instagram looks better than mine. You know, whatever the thought is, just always go back to you or, you know, being yourself, not just you, but being yourself. So, yeah, Thank you.
And if people want to learn more about the work that you're up to, Veronica, what's the best way to stay in touch and support?
Yeah, thank you. So you can find me on social media. I'm really active on Instagram. So it's at Veronica Kalinas, or you can find me at my business page at Vulnerable AF. I lead monthly workshops around connection and vulnerability. It's called Vulnerable AF. My next pivot actually is going into companies and leading workshops for teams and leading and teaching emotional intelligence, communication tools, and just creating brave spaces for connection. So yeah, I'm just looking for, new opportunities and also new ways of helping groups connect. So that's actually my next pivot, and I'll still be leading Vulnerable AF. But yeah, if you want to find how you can join the next Vulnerable AF event, just find me on Instagram and you can go to my website, and I always list my upcoming events online. Thank you.
Yeah, David. So I'm not on Instagram, but you can find me on Twitter. It's Redhead Left Hand. Yes, I'm left-handed. Yes, I have red hair for the listeners. Also on a website, there's a contact form. So it's Michelle Welsch, WELSCH.com. And I'm quite approachable. Send a message, say hi. Tell me what you learned from today.
Amazing. Michelle, Veronica, thank you so much. This was such a treat.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Michelle.
Really fun. Thanks for calling in from all over the world.
Hey, friend. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Would love to hear what you learned and what you enjoyed. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever is best for you. And as a reminder, I'm just one email away as well. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which includes the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.